The world will not love you. It will not love you. Says who? Jesus, for one. And he would know. His first sermon in Nazareth ended with an attempt to throw him off a cliff. In his ministry, enemies demanded signs from him, and they tested him with nasty setups. And in the end, he suffered just as the prophets of old had predicted, suffered death on a cross. The words of today's psalm are his words, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. The world will not love you. In fact, it will hate you, even as it hated him. So don't strive to be loved, honored, and accepted. Instead, be faithful, endure, and live as one born again to a living hope. Some Christians have faced full-fledged persecution from the government. That's not our situation. No matter how we may try to spin it, that's simply not what we're going through right now. It also wasn't the situation of Christians in northern Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, the people to whom St. Peter wrote his first letter. But like them, you may experience different trials. You may experience the hatred of the world as mockery for not participating in its foolish and futile practices. You live differently than the world lives. You may experience that hatred of the world as misunderstanding of what you believe and slander about why you do what you do. You believe and worship differently than the world believes and worships. You may experience that hatred by being called troublesome, antisocial, unloving, and disruptive to society. You follow a way different than the way the world follows. You follow the way of Christ. Whatever trials you experience, whatever hatred you suffer, let it not be on account of ungodly stubbornness or rudeness or any evil on your part. There are times when we suffer trials from the world and we suffer the world's hatred, frankly, because we kind of deserve it, because of our rudeness and our stubbornness and some evil on our part. Let that not be the case for us as Christians. Rather, when you suffer or when you experience the hatred of the world, let it be only for the name of Christ. Wear your baptism proudly and on your sleeve. Lift high the cross that was traced on your forehead and on your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Confess and praise the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If we are to suffer and if we are to experience the hatred of the world, let it be for these things. Because you, dear Christian, are baptized. Or there may be someone who hears this who is preparing to be baptized or just plain curious about baptism. We are baptized Christians. The world will not love you, but God does love you. According to his great mercy, St. Peter tells us, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. For you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's like 5 sermons right there. There's a lot to unpack, but simply begin with this. God has begotten you to a living hope. You are born again. You have been born from above, as Christ was, and you have been born again to a living hope through holy baptism. Now, I want to grab a hold of that word hope for a minute, because that little word can cause us all sorts of problems. Too often we think of hope as a mere wish or a desire. We confuse hope with a fantasy land or a fairy tale or a dream. That kind of hope is easily lost. It's as easily lost as your keys or your wallet can be. That kind of hope can be crushed as if it's trash thrown into the compactor. That kind of hope often dies, just like the dreams and visions that we have for ourselves as children. That kind of hope is not Christian hope. That's not what St. Peter is describing. That kind of hope, you might say, is a worldly hope. It's a mirage. It's like a person who sees water in the desert. They're crawling toward it, only to see it vanish from before their eyes. Christian hope is different. Your hope is a living hope. Your hope is not a mirage, it is real. It's like a person dying in the desert who gets picked up and carried to an oasis, carried to a spring of water that never vanishes, that never runs dry, a spring whose source is eternally renewed and eternally life-giving. What is it that makes our hope living? It is not simply how strongly we hope it. No, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what St. Peter says. Our hope is a living hope because the one in whom we hope is alive. He has died, but he cannot die again. And so the hope that we have can never be lost. The hope that we have can never die. It can never be crushed. And what is our hope? Our hope is in an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. This inheritance cannot be taken from us. It's what we have by being born again through baptism. No thief can break in and steal our inheritance. No moth or rust can destroy it. It is kept in heaven for you. The world will not love you. It may mock you. It may cancel you. It may deplatform you. But it cannot touch your inheritance. This inheritance of yours is beyond the reach of tech or media or big business or government, because it is kept in heaven for you. As we sang last Sunday, take they our wife, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. And you, dear Christian, by God's power, you are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God is the one who gives you faith, and he is also the one who keeps you in the faith and guards you through faith. What he has begun in you, he will bring to completion. He will see it through to the end. And what is the outcome of this faith? What is the goal of our hope? It is the salvation of your souls, a salvation that you already have in Christ, but that will be revealed and unveiled when Christ returns in glory. It is that we would be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And this is why St. Peter says we can rejoice. We can rejoice even though now, for a little while, we are grieved by various trials, even though the world may mock us and the world will certainly hate us. We can rejoice because we know what our faith is looking forward to, and we know what is already ours in Christ. And so as we go through trials, it is like gold passing through a fire. These trials refine and purify our faith by sending us back to the one in whom we hope, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Every trial we endure, every suffering we face, every sorrow that meets us simply sends us back to Christ, back to his promises, back to his word, back to the sufferings that he endured and the glory that he received and the promise that he is coming again. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the living hope that we have through Christ, the living hope by which we endure the trials and sufferings and sorrows of this life. May God keep us in this hope through Christ, now and forever. In his name, amen.